We are in our Increasing Faith series, and 2 weeks ago I briefly shared a portion of a message that I called According to Your Faith, and we were emphasizing the doing part. And as I shared with you, I said, you know, frequently when we consider the concept according to your faith, we hear the words of Jesus when he is saying, you know, be it done unto you, or receiving according to your faith. And that's a vital part. We're going to look at that more this morning. But seldom do we consider doing according to our faith, or responding back to God according to our faith. And so I touched on that a little bit. I want to give it a little more emphasis, or a little more time here this morning. But before we do that, let's just do a very quick review of where we've been in this series of Increasing Faith. We've talked about how the Lord said over and over in his scripture, the righteous shall live by faith. And I realize that it's not just, okay, decide, people, that you're going to live by faith because that's the way that God wants you to live. It's like God is going to put you in circumstances where you have no choice but to respond to him in faith. If you're going to make it, it's because you've done it because of your faith and your trust in him. And so it's like you will find yourself in situations over and over in your life where it's like hands up in the air. You know, the only way we're going to make it through this is to have our faith and our trust in the Lord, because you will live by faith. God sees to it that you will live by faith. And so that's a kind of a twist on that too, what we normally consider a response to God. But, excuse me, we have talked about how faith is really a relationship of trust, and those two terms, faith and trust, could be used interchangeably. We also saw how fear and doubt can steal away from our faith. Peter, in the midst of a miracle, walking on water, all of a sudden diverts his attention from the Lord Jesus and from his word, where he said to come. All of a sudden, he's now looking at the wind and the waves, the circumstances around him, and he concludes he can no longer walk on water because of the circumstances. And so his faith dwindles, and he starts to sink. He cries out. The gracious mercy of Jesus grabs him by the hand, takes him back to the boat, and challenges him to not lack in his faith. So again, last week, or 2 weeks ago, we started talking about according to your faith, and giving and doing according to our faith, but also today I want to share more on receiving according to our faith. And even in, as I was commenting on the songs that Larissa had chosen, you might have to help me with the lyrics here, but we were talking about being given so that we can give. How does that go? Do you remember that song, how it goes? You're looking at me with a question mark as well, and that's fine. Put you on the spot. Yeah, say it again. The seed I received, I must sow. So the Lord's intent is for us to be blessed and to receive blessings from him because of our faith, but not just so that we can wallow in the blessings of the Lord. It's so that we can be challenged and filled and blessed, so that we're turning around and we're blessing the people that are around us. The seed I've received, I must sow. That needs to be our attitude. So we got to be able to receive by faith so that we can sow by faith as well. So we're going to blend those two here together this morning. So according to your faith, back on the doing part, I shared these passages of scripture, although we didn't read through them before. So let's go ahead and take the time to do that this morning. First of all, from Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to hit on verses 1 through 11. Romans chapter 12, I'd encourage you to power up your electronic devices, if that's what you use, or open your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 through 11. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. When we talk about offering ourselves up, offering our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, again, what we're talking about is offering ourselves to God to serve him. And it says that this is truly the way to worship him. I made mention of this before, that our worship is not just coming, raising our hands, lifting our voices, singing our songs, meaning in our heart, you know, our expressions of love to the Father. That's awesome, and that's a part of worship. But that's such a minimal part of our life. You know, what are you doing in your everyday life? It's our serving Him. It's our giving ourselves to minister on His behalf that really is a true act of worship. That's where we're really revealing whether we worship the Lord or not. But it says to do this, to give our bodies. And why do we do this? It says that right in verse 1, because of what He's done for us. I mean, when you consider, you know, give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Man, when you start thinking about what He's done for you, how could we be so callous to live our lives our own way? So, well, let's move on. Starting with verse 2 now. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given each of us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. So in our notes here, again, be honest in the evaluation of yourself. Now here it talks about not thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. There is a strange dichotomy that goes on with humanity. On one side, it seems like we always have to check our pride. You know, when someone challenges us or our way of thinking or something like that, we always rise up and go, you know what, my way is right. And, you know, I have enough knowledge in this or whatever. And so that pride rises up and we say, who are you to challenge me? But then when it comes to serving God, it's almost like it's absolutely the opposite way. It's like, oh, I'm not worthy to do that. You know, and pride, it's not a true humility. It's really a false humility. We're slapping God in the face saying, you didn't make me good enough, God. Really? That's what we're doing. But it says, don't think more highly of yourself. And I think we almost need to, when it comes to serving the Lord, as it's talking about here, we almost need to say, don't think more lowly of yourself than you ought to. Yep. Evaluate yourself according to the faith that God has given you. And this is where we're talking about doing by faith. Again, it says, be honest in the evaluation of yourself, measuring by the faith God has given us. And my question is, do you trust what God has done when He made you? Do you trust Him? That's what faith really is. And are you evaluating yourself and your ability to serve the Lord by your trust in what He has made you to be? Or do you keep disqualifying yourself, saying, no, I have all these weaknesses? Well, turn that around. The Apostle Paul did. He said, In your weakness, He is strong. Actually, it says, I got corrected. In your weakness, we are strong. Carol brought that up last night. In our weakness, He makes us, we are strong. Not He is strong in us, but He makes us strong. And so anyway, don't think less of yourself than you ought. Trust what God has done. And it goes on to say, we are one body, many parts, and we all belong to each other. So there's more than just you involved in this. It's you and everyone else that God has put you in their sphere to be a part of that body. We're really talking about a local congregation, a local body, where we are serving one another in that body. And then I'm going to put up this slide, and we'll go on through the rest of the verses. Here you can take the notes as you hear me read in verses 6 through 11. Excuse me. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. So even that speaking out, and the word prophecy means to speak on God's behalf, to declare things on behalf of the Lord. It says do that with the faith He's given you. So see how we need to trust the Lord that He can use us to speak? Now, it's not everyone's gift. Again, there's a variety of gifts, and we see that variety. It's not everyone to stand up and declare, as I am doing to you with you here right now. It's not everyone's gift to do that, and that's just fine. But when He gives you the opportunity to speak, it might be one-on-one with someone to declare the Word of God to someone. Do that with the faith that God has given you. In other words, trust Him to use you as His mouthpiece. Let's continue on, verse 7. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. God has given us these abilities. What he's saying is don't go bury that gift. Don't be lazy. Stir up that enthusiasm that God gives you when you are serving him. Work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Genuinely love each other. I also share this passage of scripture with you, and I'll go ahead and put it on the screen, the 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Again, what this is saying, have faith in the strength and energy of God through you. Speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do these things, exercise your gifts with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Do you trust God to supply you with strength and energy? Or are you saying, I can't do that. My life's so consumed with all this activity. I don't have time. I don't have the energy. Then we need to increase our faith in what God will do through us and the strength and energy that he will supply as well. Got to get rid of the little tickle here. And it says in doing this, then what we're doing is we're giving glory to God and we're helping others. Giving glory to God and help to others. And really, that's a part of the vision that we have as a church to fulfill, and that is loving God and people too. Giving glory to God by serving him and helping others, we're expressing our love to God and to people too. I made mention of a few of us having attended a global leadership summit, and one of the presenters there shared how when she was a small girl, she received a plaque. I think it was from her mother. And this is what it said on it. Life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to God. And just think about that for a little bit. You've received life. You've received gifts from God. What you do with those is what you give back to him. And we started out the Romans 12 passage with, do this because of what God has done for you. He's given you life. Return that life, that gift back to him by serving him with the gifts that he has given you. Well, let's talk some more about, or in addition to the according to our faith in giving and doing and serving, how about according to our faith in receiving? And I'll encourage you to turn to Matthew chapter 8 and verses 5 through 13. I don't hear a lot of pages turning, and I trust that's because you have electronic devices, but if it's because you have nothing in front of you, doesn't make me happy. Bring your Bibles in some form or another because I want you following along. I don't always give you the option of reading off the screen. You need to know your Bibles and know where things are at in them and mark them up and or highlight the text in your electronic device as well. Somewhere or another, be following along. Matthew chapter 8 and starting with verse 5 through 7. And this is where there is a Roman officer who has a paralyzed servant, and Jesus offers to come and heal him. Watch what happens here. This is awesome. Matthew 8, starting with verse 5. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Now look what happens with that Roman soldier. But the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. We're going to skip over the part where he compares the Gentiles to the Jews, and then in verse 13 it says, then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home, because you believed, it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. We see what's transpiring with this Roman soldier in the words of Jesus. He had such confidence in the words of Jesus that he said, all you have to do is say the word. I understand authority. I understand the authority of your words. If you just say, be healed, he's going to be. You don't have to even be present. You don't have to lay your hands on. I have such confidence in your word. And Jesus said, wow, I have not, even among God's people, God's chosen people, I have not seen this kind of faith expressed that way. He had confidence in the words of Jesus. And then Jesus replied with him. He says, because you believed, it has happened. Look at that phrase, because you have believed. And another phrase just similar to that. In fact, it's used that way in some translations, according to your faith. According to your faith is what we entitled this message. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Because you have believed, it's going to happen as you have asked. Because of your faith, according to your faith. We see that the measure of God's dealings with humanity is our faith. This is the measure. How much we believe God is the measure of God's dealings with humanity. And so remember the Lord's words when he says the righteous or the just will live, shall live by faith. That means we have confidence in the character of God and we have confidence in the word of God. Or we could replace that word confidence as trust. We have trust in the character of God, that he's a God that cannot lie, will not lie. We have trust in the word of God that when he speaks, it's truth. And when he speaks, it's with authority. And his words of authority have supersedes all else. So even if a servant is lying sick and paralyzed, at the word of Jesus of him being healed, this Roman soldier has confidence in that word and the authority of that word that he's going to be healed. So the question is, do you trust him? It's always going to come back to that, people. A walk of faith is how much level of trust we have in the Lord. It's a relationship based on trust. Turn one more page to the right and we'll look at Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to see a variety of expressions where Jesus and the result of what happens in these people's lives that he's ministering to is a result of their faith or their trust in him. Matthew chapter 9, and we're not going to go into all the details of all of these verses, but we see in some friends bring a paralyzed man. He's lying on a mat. They bring him to Jesus, and Jesus not only sees the faith of the one who needed the miracle, but he saw the faith of his friends. So what kind of a difference does it make for those that we desire to minister to or to pray for or request for healing from our Lord or whatever other situation, not always physical healing, but it might be emotional or it might be financial or it might be relational healing that needs restoration. Those kinds of things, when we are we asking it in faith, in trust that our Lord will make the difference in their lives? Well, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, be healed. Your sins are forgiven. And then on in verse 22, actually Jesus is on his way to a synagogue official's household to raise up his dead daughter. And Jairus is the name that's given us in another one of the Gospels, but he's on his way when this woman reaches out and touches his robe, because she had said to herself, if I can touch his robe, she hemorrhaged for years and years, spent all that she had on doctors, was only worse as a result of it, but she reached out and touched his robe and was healed. Jesus sensed that power go from him. He looked at her, and this is what he said to you, your faith has made you well. she was able to receive that healing because of her faith in the Lord and the power of the Lord. And then in verses 28 and 29, actually, I'll go ahead and read this. I'm one page too many here. I'll start with verse 27. It says, after Jesus left the little girl's home, he went and raised up the girl. Okay, I didn't want to leave you hanging there. Jairus' daughter, she was raised from the dead. After Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, Son of David, have mercy on us. They went right into the house where he was staying, and Jesus asked them, do you believe I can make you see? Yes, Lord, they told him, we do. Then he touched their eyes and said, because of your faith, it will happen. Then their eyes were open and they could see. Jesus sternly warned them, don't tell anyone about this. Now, I'm not going to go into the reason why he was doing that. It was the stage of ministry that he was in, and we just don't need to cover those details. But they believed that he was able to make them see. And again, his response was, because of your faith, it has happened, or it will happen. And so it was as a result of their faith and their trust in him. Let's go on to, last of my notes here, to Mark chapter 9. Going to the next gospel. Wow, these pages are stuck together. Okay. Is it humid or something? There we go. Mark chapter 9 and verses 14 through 29. And this is a story about the father with the demon-possessed boy possessed by an evil spirit, and the disciples couldn't cast him out. So another interesting experience here of ministering by faith. Mark chapter 9, starting with verse 14. Must be human. My Bible pages are sticking together too, unless it was that jelly toast I had this morning. Mark 9:14. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. What is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So Jesus' response is, why is it that this hasn't transpired? Why is it that this demon is still possessing this boy? He says, you faithless people, why do I have to keep putting up with this? You can see his frustration. So it says, so they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion and he fell to the ground writhing and foaming at the mouth. Now notice Jesus' response here. Does he get all panicked and shook up? And, no, what's going on here? This poor boy, whatever. He starts to have conversation with the father here while this is going on. And this boy's in a fit on the ground, and he says, how long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. You know what? Hooray for honest prayers. Have you ever been in that situation? It's like, Lord, I know that I can trust you, but I'm struggling with it right now. Maybe it's because of the sense of being overwhelmed with the circumstances or the challenge of someone that you're in the relationship has just been broken down for whatever reason, and it's like, Lord, I know you could restore this, but I'm sure having trouble with seeing how it's going to happen. I believe, but help my unbelief. And you know, here's what I have experienced in my own life, and I'll just share the little bit of tidbits that I get as I pick up you know, that I pick up as I go along, you will forever be experiencing events in your life that are going to give you opportunity to trust the Lord. It's kind of like I started out saying, you know what? God said, the just shall live, the righteous shall live by faith. Life is a series of events whereby God is helping you to overcome your unbelief. Life is a series of events whereby God is helping you to overcome your unbelief, learning to trust Him. And so this man cries out, he says, Lord, I do believe. The Father expresses to Jesus, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And Jesus goes on, verse 26. Verse 25. When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak. He said, I command you to come out of the child and never enter him again. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, he's dead, he's dead, he's dead, look, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterwards, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, why couldn't we cast him out? Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit? And Jesus replied, this kind can be cast out only by prayer. Now there's more to it than that. We see that also in another gospel in Matthew chapter 17 and verses 19 and 20. It says, afterward the disciples asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast out that demon? And his reply was, you don't have enough faith. Jesus told them, I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Now remember the context of this. We can miss what's the totality of the scripture and what's going on if we don't understand the context. Remember that in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus had sent his disciples out two by two, and he said, heal the sick, cast out evil spirits. They had the word of the Lord with the authority of his word to do the very thing that they couldn't do here. What changed? Why did they lose confidence in his word? Why is it that they lacked faith in the authority of the word of Jesus, giving them authority to cast out evil spirits? You know, we can only speculate because it really doesn't say why they lacked in their faith. But if it's anything like some of the experiences I've had, is when they saw the overwhelming sense of what's going on here, suddenly it's like the problem is bigger than the Lord. It's like, obviously, this demon has huge levels of control in this boy's life. I mean, look at how he's manifesting. Look at the foam coming out of his mouth. Look at the grinding of his teeth. You know, obviously, this spirit has huge level of control. Us just casting, you know, commanding it to be gone probably isn't going to work in this situation. We need Jesus on the scene. How many times do we do that? Do we lack confidence in the Word of God and therefore we're ineffective? And that's exactly where Satan wants us to be. The scripture says Satan comes immediately to steal the word that was sown, steal the word that was sown in our hearts so it does not bear the fruit that the Lord intended by giving us his word. Suddenly we lose confidence in his word. It's taken away from us. We're lacking faith. We're not doing, we're not receiving, and we're not doing according to our faith in the Lord because we've lost it. So the challenge is for us to continue to increase our faith in him and to trust him and to take him at his word rather than losing confidence in his word. Now, all of this, when we're talking about increasing our faith, this is going to come to a conclusion for us as a people. Not that this is the conclusion of our series. There's still more to teach in here. I think it could go on and on for months regarding faith. When the scripture says the just, the righteous shall live by faith, God gives all kinds of examples in scripture of us doing that. But here we see The Bible talks about expanding boundaries as a result of increasing faith. And we'll see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 15 through 17. It says, now, do we boast and claim credit for the work someone else has done? Instead, we hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. Then we will be able to go and preach the good news in other places far beyond you, where no one else is working. Then there will be no question of our boasting about work done in someone else's territory. As the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. Here's what I want to say, folks. There is much to be done. There is much for us as a congregation to be done. And that has been happening. Let me just share a few things with you where I have seen examples of expanding boundaries. And let me just go back as far as last weekend, when Randy and Tammy were expressing how the Lord is stirring in their hearts to begin something that's not being done as a method of reaching out to youth in this area. Expanding boundaries, people. And then, you know, I just because I do this, I watched the service last week on DVD, and I was so blessed and so impressed with the level of maturity of this congregation to gather up around them and support them in prayer and encouragement for what God has called them to do. Now, obviously, that's not the first that this has happened in this congregation, but one of the reasons it blessed me so much was because we were gone and it was happening. So it's like Paul's talking about here, expanding boundaries as a result of the fact that you guys are walking in the faith that God has entrusted to you, and you're ministering according to that faith. You're seeing its effectiveness cause expanded boundaries here. And it's not because we're here making it all happen. I refer to some other time, you know, this is going to allow us to go on vacation a whole lot more to see this happening among you folks. Helen's, no. Anyway, but that's really not the point I wanted to make about it. But I want to look back to some other expanded boundaries. You know, this, when we were at the Global Leadership Summit, what's his name again? Bill Hybels has this passion about special needs kids. And I've seen you folks work with special needs kids among our own, reaching out to families in this community through the sportsman's activities and the ministry that Charlie has established with hunting for special needs kids. Wow, what a tremendous expansion of boundaries to touch an area where most aren't doing it. When Melanie and I were going up to Park Rapids a week at a time every month to establish a church up there, those expanded boundaries were a result of the kind of level of maturity that you folks are walking in here, and that you would take up the slack and that you would be okay in our absence. How about the month that I was waylaid with having to have my brain repaired? This vessel that erupted in my brain had to have attention and put me down for about a month. And you guys were just, you were right there. I remember a TV news coming and interviewing Steve Lee, and he said you guys were fine without me. And that's the way it ought to be, because, you know, he talked about, you know, us taking up doing the work of the ministry. That's what happens here. People doing the work of the minister, not hiring a minister to do the work of the ministry. So expanded boundaries are a result of you exercising the faith that God has given you to both receive from the Lord and then to give from the Lord to minister to others. And now we see that being initiated again through expanded boundaries to minister to children of our community through the children's church ministry. Expanding its format, expanding its outreach to kids. We are advertising that we are welcoming drop-off kids. So, you know, we might have a whole bunch of kids in here that are a result of parents saying, you know what, we'd like to go uptown and have breakfast. And so there's a place that we'll watch our kids while we do it. And we're good for that. We're good with that. So we might have a huge amount of kids that we're able to have the opportunity to reach out to and eventually to reach out to their parents as well. But let's allow for expanded boundaries as a result of us expressing our faith and our trust in the Lord. There is much to be done, but it can only be done if we have confidence in the words of our Lord and if we trust in His character and if we trust Him in His Word. You will be going on and growing on to do more for the Lord, and we will be going on and growing on to fulfill other things that the Lord has called us to do. This will be a result of receiving from the Lord so that we can give to others, and that resulting in expanded boundaries resulting from our faith growing. So whatever experience you're having in your life right now, especially a troubling experience, look at it and say, you know what, this is an opportunity for me to increase in my trust of the Lord. This is an opportunity for me to throw that anchor of hope into the presence, beyond the veil, into the presence of the Lord and become stabilized, receive that stabilizing from the Lord, walk in faith and trust in His Word, and enable me to be recharged, re-energized, revisioned, re-impassioned in my gifting so that I can serve others, loving God and people too. Let's pray. Lord, these expressions of our faith are so that we not only can say yes to the things that You are doing, but to show that we really do trust You, Lord, and we really do love You. We thank You that, Lord, I keep speaking of us as being a small congregation, and I see that changing, Lord. But even as a congregation the size that we are, You've given us big things to do and big opportunities. Please help us not to limit ourselves, understanding that our God is a big God and nothing is impossible to him that believes. Those are the words of Jesus. Nothing is impossible to him that believes. And so we want to believe You, Lord, trust You for the things that You have for us to do. Help us, Lord, to get healed up in our own lives so that we are not being inhibited or deterred by those things that are presently causing us to struggle, that we can receive renewed faith and renewed vision and renewed strength and energy to walk with You, Lord. Thank You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.